Blog Talk Radio.
Assalamu alaikum. Alhamdulillah, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Thumma alhamdulillah, and after that, all unqualified praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillah, alladhi anzala alayna kitabun mubin. All praise is due to Allah, who sent down upon us His book most clear. Wa kana akhru ma nazala min ayatihi al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinukum wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati wa raditu lakum al-islam ad-din. He said, this day have I perfected for you your way of life, have completed my favor upon you, and have preferred for you al-Islam as a way of life. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, and we bear open and sound testimony, without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment. There is no deity, no object of worship except Allah. Lahul mulk, His is the kingdom. Wa lahul hamd, to Him is due all unqualified praise. بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ, in His hand is all good. وَهُوَ عَلَّ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ, and He has power over all things. وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ, and we bear open and sound testimony without hesitation, without reservation, without embarrassment, that Muhammad, to whom the Quran is revealed, is His slave, servant, and His messenger. Allahumma salli wa sallim wa barak ala sayyidina Muhammad wa Allah. Send your prayers, your peace, and your blessings upon our leader, Muhammad wa ala alihi, and upon his family, wa sahbihi, and upon his companions, ajma'in, all of them, wa ya ayyuhal muslimun, and to you, O Muslim, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa jumu'ah mubarak. أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجع الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا صدق الله العظيم. This is the 33rd surah, Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 21. It says, you have indeed in the Messenger of Allah a beautiful pattern of conduct for anyone whose hope is in Allah, that is God, whose hope is in God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is the more English word, but we don't want it to be lost that It says, whose hope is in Allah. It doesn't always mean that that person knows that Allah is God. They can believe in God and believe that they are believing, in the one God who created the heavens and the earth. They still get credit for that, even though they call him by different names. And, of course, we know in the Quran it says call him by whatever names. All beautiful names belong to Allah. As long as there's no, I'll use the term profanity, in the names that you use, meaning names that are offensive to Allah, the creator of the heavens and earth. In any case, whoever believes in that one and in the final day, that is, who believes that there is a judgment day, there is a day that the Lord, cherisher, sustainer, the one who created you, gave you life, and you will face him in the judgment. That's a reality. When you accept that as a reality, whoever accepts that as a reality, so you accept that there is the creator, the one and only Lord, cherisher, sustainer of all the worlds. You believe that, and you believe that judgment day is a certainty. Whoever you are, and the Quran talks many times about the Jews, those who call themselves Jews, those who call themselves Christians, the Sabaeans, whoever believes in God, they have their reward with God. On such shall be no fear, nor shall they grieve. So I want to make it clear that it's not only those who say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadur Rasulullah, that this verse applies to. It applies to anyone who believes in that creator of the description that we've given, and who believes in that day, and who engage much in the remembrance of that creator. Zakarallaha kathira. They think about that creator a lot. Allahu Akbar. So what's the benefit? You want an example? You need an example? Muhammad is your model. Muhammad is your model. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, Sadaqallahu Alazim. So today we continue Taqwa and the Game of Life, and this is part 9. I want to add some other verses to the khutbah today. The first will be a reading from the 7th ayah of the 11th surah. I want to say 11 is Yunus. Let me see. No, Surah Al-Hud. 11 is Surah Hud. Reading, أعوذ بالله وهو الذي خلق السماوات والأرض في ستة أيام وكان عرشه على الماء ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن العمل صدق الله العظيم. An expression of it is, he, speaking of Allah, he it is who created the heavens and the earth in 6 periods, and his throne was over the waters, that he might try which of you is best in conduct. Verse 2, 67, Surah Al-Mulk, 67, Ayah 2. الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتِ موت والحياة ليبلوكم أيكم أحسن العمل وهو العزيز الغفور. صدق الله العظيم. An expression of it is, he, that is Allah, who created death, and it actually says the death, created the death and the life, that he may try which of you is best in conduct. And he is the exalted in might, oft forgiving. Verse 7 of Surah 18, Surah Al-Qahf, says, إنا جعلنا ما على الأرض زينة لها لنبلوهم أيهم أحسن العمل. An expression of it is, that which is on earth we have made but a glittering show for the earth in order that we may try them as to which of them is best in conduct. Alhamdulillah. So, key verse, surely you have in the Messenger of Allah an excellent pattern of conduct, a beautiful pattern of conduct. So conduct is the key. The verses that we read, they have the refrain that he might try which of you is best in conduct. He might try which of you is best in conduct to test them to see which of them is best in conduct. And it particularly, it brings it home for me always when Allah says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتُ وَالْحَيَاةِ لِيَبْلُوكُمْ عَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْعَامَلَ. He created the death and the life to try which of you is best in conduct. So that is to say that when you understand the nature of life, Allah has created the death, and the death is mentioned first, and it's a very big, important thing for us to understand that we are all going to die, to understand the nature of our mortality. All of us, we don't think about it often, but it's the purification for the heart, as the Prophet says, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to think about death often, not in any kind of morbid way, but to understand, yeah, there's going to come a time when my journey in this life is going to be over. When you remember that, that helps to purify your heart. But Allah begins with this verse. He said, he is the one who created the death and the life. So you have the beginning of life, meaning al-hayya, and then al-maut. The end, in between, is the trial. The trial is, لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْعَامَلَ, which of you is going to be best in conduct. So the point is that conduct, big deal. Conduct is the key of life, right? I was listening, I read, you know, a Facebook quote this morning. It just, you know, I think many of you do the same thing. You just kind of like the way you used to look at, you used to go to the door, old school, go to the door and get the newspaper off the porch. Right, you get the newspaper out, but what do? You don't really read it, you know. You slip through, you know, see what's in the news, right? Okay, well, Facebook, same way. And I came across this statement. I'm paraphrasing it, so this is like 85% or 90% of what it actually said. The sense of it you'll get, inshallah. Someone posted a saying from another individual. It says, we come into life with nothing, we leave life with nothing, but in between, we fight for what we didn't bring with us and what we won't take with us. And that got me. I said, no, I have to say this in Juma. Any excuse, I mean, this has to be said. You come into the world with what? Nothing. You go out with nothing. You don't take nothing. You don't bring anything with you. You don't take anything with you. But in between, everything that's going on in this world right now that we basically really don't like has to do with people fighting over what they didn't bring and what they won't take. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan rajim. When you look at that verse, the piling up of the beautiful things of this world, You fight and scrap for little bits of whatever this world provides. Then you think about how I've spent my life when you get to the grave, those that are victim of this. But of course, the believer, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ عَمِنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. The believer recognized, hey, look, the time on this world is short. And if I can just remember that the most important thing is not what's happening relative to what I acquire here, but what I acquire that's going to benefit me after this life. Get the good that Allah has provided for you in this world, but don't forget your share. Don't forget your share of material world, but don't forget your share of this world. I guess I got to say it in Arabic. وَبْتَغِي فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ. Seek with the means that Allah has made available to you, دَارُ الْآخِرَةِ. Seek with the means that Allah has made available to you, the life that comes after. وَلَا تَنْسَى نَسِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا. But don't forget your share of the material world. So Allah is saying, it's all right. You can have this. It's not forbidden to my believers. But don't make that the only reason for being. When you make that your only reason for being, then you lose. But see, this is, I put it right after this verse here, 7, verse 18 in my notes. It says, "Inna ja'alna ma 'ala al-ard." We have placed what is upon the earth, zinatan laha. We have made it an adornment for it. It's for the life of this world. But then God tells you, look, understand this. Zinatan laha linabluahum. Lina blue, to try them. Ayyuhum ahsanu al-amala. It's a trial to see who's going to be the best in conduct. You're faced with these beautiful things in the world. You're faced with these attractive things in the world. You're faced with these entertaining things in the world. You're faced with these shiny things in the world. You're faced with these handsome men and beautiful women and lovely homes and beautiful cars and jewelry and wealth and all shiny. Get your share. It's good. Oh, I like that. Get it. But have the right attitude about getting it and understand its limitations. And be ready to give it up if the Lord cherishes the state of the world. Say, okay, we got to give that up. Oh, no, it's too beautiful. No, you got to give that up. لِيَبْلُوكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْعَامَلَ. It's a trial. All right? One last thing before we move away from that note. It's a very easy and important phrase to remember. Every blessing is a test, and every test is a blessing. I'm sorry. Excuse me. How many beautiful women have been undone by their own beauty? How many handsome men have been undone by their own handsomeness? They just get lost in the sauce, as we say. You know, it's like it was a trial. It was a trial. You missed it. All right? So we have to be aware of that nature of life. So this is the key of life. Which is best in conduct? Let's move on. So the aim of the game of life, it's one of the phrases that we've shared desiring for you to hold on to it. Oh, let me hit this one other thing before I go away from that. How the society lies to us about the trial of life and tricks us into loss. So they have bumper stickers like, well, let me go to the negative side first. La ilaha illallah. Go to the negative side first. Excuse me, I'm using the phrase inside of the instruction. Life is a bitch and then you die. That's why. And what's life all about? Well, life is a bitch and then you die. There's some real philosophy that's actually behind that way of thinking. Thomas Hobbes, look that up. I won't quote him right now. But some of the people that were studied by the quote-unquote founding fathers, he was one of them. Life is brutish, lonely, and short, or something like that. So So that's the negative side. So some people take that side of thinking about the nature of life. And then the other side, you have what you have, those you would call a hedonist. Hedonist, meaning that it's all about pleasure, right? So you've seen this bumper sticker where it says, he who dies with the most toys wins. He who dies with the most toys wins. That's another a popular lie out there in the culture, right? So Allah is telling the Muslim, and this is our protection, and this is his favor. He said, let me do you a favor. Don't listen to that. Life is not a bitch. Life is a trial to see which of you is best in conduct. Don't listen to that. He who dies with the most toys wins. Don't listen to that. Enjoy your share, but don't get stuck on that because this is only temporary. It is short. Now, Thomas Hobbes, he's right about that. It's short in relationship to the reality of life. It's short. So you don't have no time to waste. All right? So once you know the aim, you know the game. And since we're talking about taqwa and the game of life, we got to answer the question, what is the aim of life? The aim of life is to try which of you is best in conduct. So what's the greatest favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could do for us? Let me give you a pattern of conduct to follow, and you won't be lost in the thoughts. You won't get distracted. You won't fail in the nature of life. So I'm giving you Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as a beautiful pattern of conduct. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil alameen. All you have to do is think about how many people don't have Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as an example, as a model, as a reference for, okay, well, what should I do in this situation? What should I do in that situation? Those who don't have any reference, or they have all the wrong references. Oh, here's my situation. Let me go ask, I'm not going to put anybody's name in the picture, but you fill in the blank for the people who are the go-to people who lead them further astray. So the aim of the game of life is to always, one word, and in all ways, two words, A-L-L-W-A-Y-S, to always and in all ways. Where'd I go? spoiler alert. I went to the donut shop last night, and I stumped a little. I mean, I know we're not Catholics. We're Muslims. I confess. Wynn got me an apple fritter. I just had a taste for apple fritter. I hit it too, boy. It was good. All right, now that I got that off my chest. Right. This is a 24-hour donut shop. It's open 24 hours. So for donut junkies, mashallah, it's like they got you. So the point is 24/7. Okay. In al-Islam, we have to practice al-Islam 24/7. MashaAllah, alhamdulillah, a'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, seeking refuge from any riya, any whatever, arrogance, pride, show-offishness, or anything like that. But I've got to tell you this too. So my dreaming last night, I was so very conscious in my dream last night. You don't bring back from dreams always a whole lot from it. That's the nature of dreams. But the point is that I'm just remembering how conscious you can be inside of a dream. I mean, I was writing some things, and I was trying to get the writing clear, trying to force myself in the writing to write it in a way that I could read the word and remember what the word was, but I never really got to that point. But I was trying to tell I'm going to call it my avatar, just to move on to okay, no, write it like this. Never really got that done. But the point is, I was very conscious in the dream. So when I'm talking about 24/7, even though we are not held to the same moral standards for what happens in our dreams, but there is some measure of control that we do have in our dreams. Although I don't know. It's like, you remember you had that dream, and when you did that, da da da, da, you know, you could have chosen to do otherwise, but you didn't. I don't know. I think I'm kind of getting away from where I want to be right now. But the point is, what I say 24/7, in always and in all ways, Al-Islam has something for you. There's a hadith. I'll give you a little homework. You can look it up as you will. Just type in the hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his dream about the kingdom of heaven, his dream about the kingdom of heaven, not the Iswa wa Mi'raj, something else. The prophet, the dream where he received the parable of the kingdom of heaven. You'll find it, I believe, inshallah. And the only point that I want to make in that, since I went that way on that part of the conversation, that two angels came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One was at his feet and one was at his head. And so one angel said, tell him the story. I'll put it that way. Tell him the story. And then the other angel said, but he's asleep. And then the other angel said, his eyes are asleep, but his heart is awake. Okay? His eyes are asleep, but his heart is awake. I'm only saying that for us to understand. When I say always and in all ways, because you know there are some options in some of our dreams where, okay, are you going to do that or are you not going to do that? There are some times. You're a human being, so you dream. Are you or are you not? And you can make that choice not to do that. Whether Allah's judgment on that, that's Allah's knowledge. So all I'm doing is trying to reinforce for us that the idea is to not let up, definitely in your waking hours, on the fact that you're supposed to always be conscious of Allah. That's the taqwa aspect, which we haven't really gotten to, and the game of life. The taqwa aspect is consciousness. And when you talk about taqwa, taqwa is rooted in a word that means guarding. And taqwa is an inward guarding consciousness. Taqwa is watching yourself on the inside. Kutiba alaykum as-siyama kama kutiba lil-ladina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun. Fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for the people before your time in order that you might learn self-restraint is the way it's often translated. La'alakum tattaqun, self-restraint, right? And so taqwa is being able to control yourself on the inside. And mashallah, inshallah, when we get to it for detail, you have a whole community. We have a whole community inside of ourselves. And it's a community of urges and impulses. And each of those urges and impulses have an appetite and a destiny of their own. Urges and impulses that say, that you know, I'm personifying it, but the nature of their creation is that is such that if you put a narration in their mouth, they would say, I'm only here to do this. Don't ask me about that. Don't ask me about that. I'm here to do this, right? But they don't even have that you know, I'm talking about your urges and impulses. They don't even have that conversation. I'm just personifying, giving you a narration to make it, quote, unquote, more real. But that appetite that sent me to the donut shop last night is like, hey, go get that donut. Yeah. So effectively, who was in charge of that trip? That impulse, whatever that impulse was, and you know what? You know where we going tonight? We going to the donut shop. Now, there's a part of me probably argued weekly, W-E-A-K-L-Y. So now, you know, you don't need no donut, man. And I hadn't even had dinner. I'm going to tell you the whole story. I hadn't even had dinner, man. That's like, here comes the rationale. The rationale is that, man, you're on this side of town. You ain't usually on this side of town. Well, the next time you're going to be back on this side. You need to go and get that, man. You know, it's good. You know what I'm saying? And who won that impulse? That impulse won. Because it provided, and who was that talking? That's what our impulses do. Our impulses rationalize what supports what they want. So an impulse can take over the mental mechanism and drive the whole machine to the donut shop. So that wasn't Fahim that went to the donut shop. That was Fahim's appetite that took him to the donut shop. Now listen to our prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ma ahadukum تؤمنوا حتى أهواءهم تبعا لما جئت به. Said none of you is a believer until his impulses, urges, appetites follow what I have brought. Are you beginning to understand the jinn a little bit better? Huh? And the Prophet told Aisha, that was your jinn on some occasion. I don't want to go through the whole hadith. That was your jinn. He said, she said, I have a jinn? Yes, you have a jinn. He said, you have a jinn? He said, yeah, there's not a child of Adam, but a jinn has been assigned to them. But Allah has helped me to overcome mine so that I'm free from his mischief and he only commands me to do good. So you got to look at Yusuf, you look at Suleiman, you can get clear answers as to what that actually means. Now, I'm only trying to get to the point that always and in all ways, practice that conduct in a matter that's consistent with what Allah would have you practice in whatever that case is. Start the clock, 24 hours a day. You wake up in the morning. What's going on in your body? What are you supposed to do? You wake up. You know, the rule, well, the guidance. Alhamdulillah, الذي أحيا ما أماتنا وإليه نشور. Praise be to Allah who has given us life after our death and to him is our eventual return. That's actually supposed to be the first thing that we say when Alhamdulillah alladhi ahyana ba'da ma amatana wa ilayhi nushur. Fahim, you do that all the time? No. No, I don't. It's called practicing al-Islam. You wake up, what's Bitcoin right now? Whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, missed it. So it's a practice. You know, let me check my Facebook. Let me see what Instagram is at. Let me see if that text came back. Everything but the right thing. See, 24 hours a day. So you wake up, boom. Practice. And that's with everything. This is the point. See, as a Muslim, are you only Muslim 23 hours and 30 minutes a day? Are you Muslim 12 hours a day? MashaAllah, a'udhu billahi minhu. May Allah protect him, guide him, give him straight, get him straight on that. I saw on that documentary about, what's that sports thing that Ernie and Kenny and Chuck and Shaq, whatever that is, TNT. I think it's TNT, ESPN. In any case, so in the documentary, so they're around the breakfast table, And then somebody said, you know, I think it was Shaq, said, you know, give me some of that bacon or something like that, right? He said, you. Somebody said, ain't you supposed to be a Muslim? Something like that. He said, I'm Muslim at 12 o'clock, but I got to have my bacon. A'udhu billahi, min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. May Allah protect him, forgive him, guide him to the best. MashaAllah. So, I mean, I ain't mad at him, but that's stupid, you know, and wrong, right? Is I'm a Muslim after 12 o'clock because I got to have my bacon in the morning. A'udhu billahi. So, but that's not al-Islam. We know who he's kind of tipping out to anyway. And that ain't even right for them. But let's move on. So when we understand that being a Muslim and living out the favor of Allah and playing the game of al-Islam, i.e. the game of life properly, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and I'm suggesting even being conscious of it when we are asleep. This is a striving. It's not like, I live in the principle that I'm speaking to you. I don't want you to think as I'm saying that, yeah, he got it locked down. No, I need a lot of help. But what I'm telling you is true, okay? And that's the aim of the game. The aim of the game is to get it like that, to get it to where it's you're an unconscious, competent, where, as it says of the believer say, وَقَالُوا سَمِعْنَا وَأَطَعْنَا, and they say, we hear and we obey. Nothing in between. We heard what is right and we do what is right. That's what we're trying to get to. We're trying to get to a place where stimulus responds for righteousness, inshallah. رَبَّنَا لَا تَزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بعد حديثنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب. Oh Allah, let not our hearts deviate now of your guidance, right, and grant us mercy from your own presence, and surely you're the grant of bounds without measure. Amen. Allahu Akbar. Shukran. Alhamdulillah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So how do we do this? How do we do this? The methodology for doing so, meaning the ability to always and in all ways act in the best and most meaningful way. Very important. Act in the best and most meaningful way. لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ الْعَامَلَ. That's the test of life. You're born, you die. In between, what is the best conduct in all ways at all times? When you hit the mark at a given time, in a given situation, you did the right thing for that situation. Let's take the adhan. When the adhan is given for prayer, I think all of us should have that mechanism, because we don't live in a world where you can hear the adhan in your neighborhood. You should have an application on all these devices that we have that plays the adhan. So it's like, okay, Allahu Akbar, time for prayer. What you gonna do? Oh man, they on the 2 yard line. It's the last 5 minutes of the game, championship, man. Well, Allah give us a range. We have a range. We can do that. All that's true, but you need to know who you're talking to. One is that impulse, and that impulse is being counseled by Shaitan. Tell him this. Tell him that. Hey, man, you need to hit that DVR, go make your prayer, and then run it back. Don't let Shaitan steal from you, right? So in terms of that, that's just an example. The idea is to have the right conduct in all ways, at all times. And one of the ways of doing that is, which I believe is the principal way, is according to the Holy Quran, we have to read the revealed sources of guidance. That is, be in the habit of reading the revealed sources of guidance, and the highest of which is the Quran and the creation. Brother and sister, listen to what I'm saying. Be in the habit of reading the Quran, and mashallah, inshallah, learn how to read the creation. And hey, if you don't know how to read the creation, then look at nature films. Literally, I'm just talking about the science of nature. Just look at videos about the bees and the flies and butterflies and flowers and whatever. Astronomy. Well, you can study if you really understand it, but leave that alone. It's okay. But alchemy is also inside of that, but that's another kind of science that if you ain't got it right, don't mess with it. Let's move on. So okay. I'm going to leave it right there. It takes me too far. Okay. So when you read those sources, here are the two questions that you have to ask yourself. I'm talking about habits. I'm talking about habits of mind. Just like the habit we say when we wake up, you say, praise be to Allah who has given us life after our death and to him as our eventual return. Okay? Practice that. Okay. Now, habitually be a reader of the Quran. That's first and primary. And the reading of the Quran will send you to other reading, but reading, habit of reading the Quran. And then also ask yourself of what you read. So you should keep a journal of little things, verses that stick out in your mind, verses that make particular impressions on you. You know how it happens during Ramadan. During Ramadan, when we're reading the Quran, that's where that verse is. Yeah, I like that. So you keep a little journal, a little diary to have those favorite verses, so those verses that stand out for you. Let me tell you something. It is your soul. Have you ever gone to Shabbat? I know sisters have. I believe brothers do too. You go, oh, man, I got to go to my brother's wedding. Man, I got to go to my sister's wedding. I got to go to this social event, blah, blah, blah. Man, I ain't got nothing to wear. So you go shopping. And when you go shopping, what are you looking for? You don't know. You don't know. So what do? You take your mind and your soul to the shops, and you just walk around looking. And then something hits you and says, that's it, man. That's the joint right there. Yeah, you go to the fitting room, try it on. What told you that was the right thing? Your soul. Your soul told you this is the right one for you. Same thing happens with the Quran. Just take your soul to the Quran. And just read. And then your soul will say, now you need to pay real attention to this verse right here. How will you know the soul is telling you that? Because something's going to grab you when you get to it. It says, stop, don't go no further, think about this. Now you know. What does this make you think about? What does this make you? That's your soul trying to get your mind in line. Soul already knows. The soul has already been enlightened as to what would benefit and what would harm it. It's the mind that doesn't know. That's why we have to be reminded. That's what Jum'ah is. It's a reminder. Why? Because you might have lost your mind last week. Come back to Jum'ah, you get it back. Oh, yeah. And then the soul talks to the mind in the course of that reading. And so now it's guided you to something else. So being in the habit of reading in that manner, it enables us to find those things that are important for us. You may need something that I don't need. I may need something that you don't need. That Quran is for you. Personality is your personal reality. Your personal reality will dictate to you what's important to you as you read, but be in the habit of reading. So being in the habit of reading, okay, now once it gets your attention, the next thing for you to do is, okay, ask the question, what does that mean, and how, therefore, should I behave? What does that mean, and how, therefore, because of that meaning, and how should I behave? What's the goal? The goal is to act in the best and most meaningful way. That's always. To act in the best and most meaningful way. Ayyukum ahsanul amala. The verses that we read. That's the whole trial of life is to see who's going to act in the best and most meaningful way. When you do that, excuse me, when you do that, then you quote unquote, let's say you pass that test for that moment. Bismillah. You know, the word for sin in the biblical language, it comes from a Greek archery term that actually means to miss the mark. It means to miss the mark, right? When you do the right thing, then, mashallah, you hit the mark. That's the conduct. That's the right conduct. That's the best conduct. Okay. That's what we're all, and we're trying to get to a place where we live like that. We get to a place, okay, I'm a Muslim, and I'm a believer. What's the goal? The goal is to try to live a life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that is on target. Who shows us how to do that? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why it's critical to also read the seerah of Prophet Muhammad. You have to ask yourself, if you've never read a book that covers the whole seerah, Prophet Muhammad from birth to death of the biological man, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you haven't done that, you're short. You haven't done that, you're short. You haven't done that, you're short. I'm emphasizing that. Because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the decoder ring for the Quran. If you want to know what something means in the Quran, the best reading is going to come from how Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam related to that verse. And especially when we talk about the Quran, there's the revealed order of the Quran and there's the compiled order of the Quran. Al-Fatiha wasn't revealed first. Surah 96, its first five verses, that was what was revealed first. 96, there's only 114. And 96 was the first one, and Al-Fatiha has its own special revelation and time, and again, and later. The point is, a part of understanding the seerah of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the context of the Quran also means understanding what is called as Bab al-Nuzul. Now, don't you step back and start getting frightened about, I ain't got time to do all that reading. That's your thing. You read it for me and tell me what it's about. No. You ain't got to sign up to go to no college. It's a beautiful thing. Those of you do it. Nothing I'm saying right now is pushing back against any of that. I'm saying there are those, this shaitan, this impulse, that would cause us to excuse ourselves. Yeah, I really can't get it like that. Let's not enroll in one of these programs. Now, look, you got a book. You probably got a bunch of them on your shelf right now. Be for real. Pull that book off the shelf and just read a page every day, period. Put yourself under the discipline and say, read it. I don't get, the book is 365 pages. Okay, how long is it going to take you to read it? Just read one page a day. Okay? You say, oh, man, oh, that's a long time. Okay, let's go back a year. What if you had been reading one page a day a year ago? You'd be on the better side of this conversation right now. And don't feel bad. My goal is not to make you feel bad. My goal is to motivate and encourage you, right? It says, Mubashiri wa Munziri, right? The part of the Quran, part of the khutbah, part of it is supposed to be good news, and another part of it is supposed to be a warning. A warning. Because as I'm saying it to you right now, and you think about how much lag time there has been between your doing that, Allah has said in that book, the Quran, it said, hasn't the time come that the believers pay attention, give due regard to this book? Or are they going to be like those who came before them, where a long time passed over them where they didn't give due regard to it and their hearts grew hard? You got to ask yourself, do I want to be that person? Am I that person? So we have to be cautious. We have to be cautious. So let us understand. Be in the habit of reading the Quran. Study the seerah of Prophet Muhammad. And what I was mentioning about the 23-year period that the Quran came down in, there's what's called the Asbab al-Nuzul. The Asbab al-Nuzul, it means every one of those revelations of the Quran, 114 chapters, some of them revealed at the same time, whole, some of them were revealed parts over years. Some of the whole chapters revealed in parts over the years. But they had, as Babu Nuzul, they had a reason for coming down. Al-Fatiha, when, why did it come down? Chapters and verses in Al-Baqarah, when, Surah Al-Asr, 103. When did it come down? Why did it come down? And let me go ahead and give you another hint, a tool to help. I have found, there are many sources, I found very useful Maududin. You go to Tahfim al-Quran, find that Tahfim al-Quran, understanding the Quran. You find there's one online, free, whatever, that it gives you the Asbab al-Nuzul. It's like the way that it's set up is like, okay, you go to Al-Fatiha, then he'll give you the background, the history, the context, the occasion that it came in, and hadith that go along with that. So you're getting the Asbab al-Nuzul, and of course he has his insights and that as well. So I'm saying there are some platforms that enable you to do what I'm saying in one place. You just have to be in the habit of doing that. And brother and sister, the improvement magnitude on your life is immeasurable. You just got to change the habit. Inshallah, you do that, all will be well, inshallah. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلم تسليما. اللهم صل الله محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم وبارك على محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. Oh, Allah, we thank you for your divine graces. We thank you for this way of life that you have chosen for us. We thank you for your complete and perfect favor. Oh, Allah, illuminate our hearts, our minds, our spirits. Purify us in our hearts and our minds and our spirits. Guide us in our behavior. Help us to overcome our weakening impulses. Help us to overcome our undermining urges. Help us to follow the ways of our Prophet, the model that you've given to us. Bless us to live the life that he modeled for us. Help us, oh Allah, to understand your revelation in the context of his life. Give us the habits and give us the commitment, give us the conviction to hold ourselves accountable for studying your word and for emulating Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Oh Allah, forgive us our shortcomings. Forgive us our misses. Forgive us our errors. Help us, for without you, we have no help. Ameen. Allahumma ameen. Wa akum as-salam. لا إله إلا الله سيدنا محمد رسول الله استوى استقيم يحكم الله ويثابكم الله. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين أهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. ألحاكم تكاثر حتى زرتم المكابر، كلا سوف تعلمون ثم كلا سوف تعلمون، كلا لو تعلمون علم اليقين لترؤون الجحيم، ثم لترؤونها عين اليقين، ثم لا تسألون يومئذ عن النعيم. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواسوا بالحق وتواسوا بالصبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. الفاتحة. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين، إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين، اهدنا الصراط المستقيم، صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. تقبل الله. Alhamdulillah, I'll make a couple of announcements here. Let me announce first, our winner of the game tonight was the $500 guy right there, Naeem Shabazz. Takbir! Now, that $5 is going to be put to work, man. He's also owner of the game, so alhamdulillah, it wasn't against the benefit of having four knowledge. Hey, that shows you reading pays, right? So, alhamdulillah. So, congratulations. Alhamdulillah. So, we're going to set up other occasions for us to do as well. There won't be a $500 prize. It'll be something. But it ain't going to be $5 again. MashaAllah. We just want to encourage. Right? So, when the game comes, everybody should own one, period, and send them one to friends and relatives and what have you. So, that's coming. Also, as you know by now, Jumu'ah starts at 12:30 due to the change of daylight saving times. And also, anniversary greetings and congrats to Tamir Erdenbach and Lil Nisa Kareem, alhamdulillah. 10 years. My, how time flies. November 14th, crazy to Allah, congratulations. And also birthday greetings to Brenda. We have Joyce Ricks, Ali. I guess we need to add Bashir too, huh? All right. Ali, alhamdulillah. Amatullah Raid, alhamdulillah. November 8th birthday, and also Angela Sabir. Alhamdulillah, praise be to Allah. Also, the women's Zoom conference call is tonight, the 12th, and also tomorrow, men's group meeting, as per usual, on the second Saturday. Big congratulations to Janan Ali. You know, she's the daughter of our former principal, Carla Ali. Alhamdulillah. She has moved from her position of captain in California Medical Facility at Solano, California Medical, on her move from captain at California Medical Facility, Solano State Prison. She's the new associate warden. I'm having a problem with the grammar. That's my problem. Associate warden, former student, Claire Muhammad School, Allahu Akbar, in the California prison system. Female, ain't no joke. Trust that. So, one more time. Oh, today is her mother's birthday. Alhamdulillah, happy birthday to Principal Carla. I'm looking at Brother Alfred. You have a son that retired from the Highway Patrol. Or am I thinking about Taysia? I think Taysia has children in the Highway Patrol. I think it's Taysia. Yeah, that's right. So alhamdulillah. So we have quite a few law enforcement individuals. Inshallah, maybe they'll purify the system by having some of those good healthy elements in there. So alhamdulillah. So I think that's it. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Yeah. Okay. What are we doing? I saw him blocked off. How you doing, man? I started wearing my shirt from here. I'm gonna have to put it in the cleaners and then get it tight. So when I show up with it, yeah, I really did start to do it. God bless. Saw him blocked.